Hello, this is Pastor Jay, and I want to encourage you today. You feel stuck right now, and it's just the first part of the year. You don't feel like you're going forward, and sometimes you feel like you're going backward. And I want to give you the answer. Come a little closer. The answer is you. It's all inside of you. If you're the child of God, you have everything you need to do what God has called you to do, to move forward out of the position that you're in mentally, emotionally, and spiritually. But you must use the keys that God has given you. And these keys are Bible study, prayer, fellowship, time, tender, and talent into the ministry that God has called you to. And you have to hit on all cylinders. So what's the problem? You're not using the keys. You're not sticking in the mission of your life and moving forward in faith. You're trying to look outside of you to handle what God has put inside of you. You're only stuck because you won't take the chance and trust God with what God has given you. Think about it. This is Pastor Jay. Like, subscribe, and share, and I'll see you on the other side. Peace.
Thank you for tuning into the Walk in Truth Radio Network broadcast. Grab your Bible, get settled, and let's walk through the Word of God together. Let us now reason together and listen to see what God is saying to us today.
Amen. This is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad. Welcome to Walking Truth Christian Fellowship Church. Thank you for joining us around the world, wherever you may be. As always, we hope you hear something today that will be of encouragement, a blessing to you. And as always, if you're not saved, ask the age-old question, what must I do to be saved? Amen.
Amen.
All right. I'm going to get started with scripture and prayer. And then we are going to have exhortation from Sister K. And then we will have observation from Sister Jackie, and then a song from Frida.
Amen.
All right. The scripture I have today is coming from John 13, verse 35, and it's short. By this, all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. And that verse reminds me of what Pastor said not too long ago, where he said, you could have all the biblical knowledge in the world, but if you don't have any love, it's worthless.
Amen.
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 All right, let's bow our heads and hearts for prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for this day, Lord. We thank you for all the blessings that you bring us, Lord. We thank you that we could all gather here today, Lord, to worship you, to glorify your name, Lord, and to give you all praise. Lord, we pray that you will show us how to love better and to love one another more. Continue to help us to grow in the knowledge and the wisdom of your word, Lord, and know you better. I pray for the service, Lord. May you be with the speaker, Lord, that we hear a word from you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
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 Praise the Lord, everybody.
Praise the Lord.
Come on, y'all. Come on. Now, this is a new year.
Yeah.
Give the Lord some pain. You know, we're here today to just celebrate this day. Because this is the day that the Lord has made, and we're going to rejoice and be glad in.
Yes, we are.
Come on, now. Just show you how much he loves you. Keep on going for a whole other year. Now, come on, now. That's what I'm talking about. Up and do your dance, but I'm asking y'all to give the Lord some praise because he is worthy.
Yes,
he is.
Yes, yes.
So I have Sister Frida going to read the scripture out loud for me, and then I'm going to kind of, what we call, elaborate on it.
Okay.
Because it's something that we need.
Amen.
And it's coming from the book of Hebrews. It's chapter 10, and I think it's 24 and 25. So Frida, whenever you're ready.
And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Yes. So y'all know what that means, right?
Yeah.
It's time to start encouraging somebody.
Yes.
You know, even as, in that scripture, he was talking to the Jews, but right now that resonates with us.
Yes.
Because, you know, we come together to fellowship and worship and to love on one each other. Oh,
yeah.
Lord, have mercy. Come on, Jesus.
Yeah.
We come together to worship and praise the Lord and encourage one another because we don't see each other all the time.
Come on, okay.
And it's time for us to just start praying for one another. And we got the time to come together. We come together to fellowship and thank God that we can see each other another year, another day, another second.
Yes.
You know what? It is so good that we have come together, but we have to realize that encouraging one another, encouragement is so great because it brings us together even more. That's why Pastor always tells us, get to know one another. When you get to know one another, look how close we done got.
Yeah.
At first, it was just like, nah, I ain't talking to her. I ain't talking to him. But now we all talking.
Yes.
We all loving on one another.
Amen.
We showing each other that perfect love that God has showed us.
Amen.
And you know, the more we do that, we can go outside these walls and do it to others.
Amen.
Because they need it more than we do.
Amen.
That's why we are called to be disciples of worshipers of God, to go out there and find somebody and help pull them to God. Let them know who God is in our life.
Yes.
See, sometimes you just got to get out there. Not all the time. You got to get out there and you got to tell your story. Because some people think that what they're going through is their end. But it's not. Look at us.
That's right.
All the stuff we done been through throughout our little life since we came into the knowledge of Christ. You know what? You have to go through something to grow. You have to go through something to get the knowledge. You can't get the knowledge when you're running from it.
Say it again.
Lord, you cannot get the knowledge if you're running from it. See, that's why Pastor Viola is about coming to Bible study and all. You know, when he come together, he breaks things down so good. I mean, sometimes you don't catch everything, but if you just catch one thing.
There you go.
One thing, he said, just come sit and listen.
Amen.
And even in Bible study, we encourage one another.
Yeah.
It's just so important, y'all, to encourage one another. Because God has given us the tools to use to do it. So use it. Tell somebody your story. And on top of that, just say, I give all glory to God. Amen.
Amen.
Everybody here today, and it's really nice to see everybody here coming in to start the new year off by praising God because He brought us through this. We had some difficulties and good stuff in the last year, but now we're here to start the new year. God has brought us through. In my studying and reading the other day, I came across this little thing, and the pastor always says sometimes, you know, God will tell us no. So I came across this little thing, and I thought, this would be good to back up what he says and why. And it goes, I asked God to take away my habit. God said, no. It's not for me to take away, but for you to give it up. I asked God to grant me patience. God said, no. Patience is a byproduct of tribulation. It isn't granted, it is learned.
All right.
I asked God to spare me pain. God said no. Suffering draws you apart from worldly cases. I'm sorry. Suffering draws you apart from worldly cares and bring you closer to me.
Amen.
I asked God to give me happiness. God said no. I give you blessings. Happiness is up to you.
Amen.
I asked God for all things that I might enjoy in life. God said no. I will give you life so that you may enjoy all things.
All right.
I asked God to help me love others as much as He loves me. God said, you finally get the idea, my child.
Amen.
Yeah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I just want to thank you, Lord. You've been so
Thank you for tuning into the Walk in Truth Radio Network. Stay tuned for an encouraging word from Pastor, Teacher Dr. James Sutton. Let's see what Pastor Sutton has to say to us today.
Amen. Let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Amen.
Amen.
This is the day the Lord has made. Let us
rejoice and be glad in it.
Okay, that was for everybody in the room, but let's give it to the Lord. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us what?
Rejoice and be glad in it.
Amen. Happy New Year to everyone.
Happy New Year.
Amen. We are going into a new year, and as you see, we're playing new music at times.
Amen.
We have to not be so monolithic in our music and in our thinking. We have to go forward in God. There are some good songs other than the songs you didn't listen to in your past.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. God is not limited to your old church. Oh, I know I ain't getting no amens on that. God's not limited to your old church and all your traditions and all the stuff you like to listen to. I'm kind of a connoisseur of music. I like good music. It don't make no difference where it come from. And when I look at the lyrics, I say, God's not dead. I am. He's surely alive. And he who he say I am. Amen. I'm a child of God. I can get with those kind of lyrics. I don't care what kind of music behind it. Amen.
Amen.
Because the truth is in the word of God.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen. So I claim what he said that I am. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. We gonna really have a good time this year. We're going to take things a little slower. We're enjoying classes. Yesterday we had a good class. And we just thank God for that. So open up your Bibles to John chapter 15. And Frida's going to be reading from verse 1 through 10. 1 through 10.
I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit, for apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers, and the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love.
Amen. The question is, who are you stuck to? The question is, who are you attached to? The question is, where do you really abide? When I read this scripture that I've become very familiar with over the years, every time I read it, it gives me more. When you read the Word of God and you continually feed on the Word of God, the same word that you read yesterday will fill you up for today. It will change, it will morph, it will grow because you've grown through your experiences with God. A lot of times when we read this passage, people thought that these are people that's going to lose their salvation. But no, this is not about losing your salvation, but it's surely about the fact that you can lose fellowship. Karen talked about loving one another. And what way could you love one another unless you fellowship with one another? Those of us who try to be long rangers, you're not in the will of God. So I don't care what you think you're doing. I don't care how bad you've been hurt at church. If you can't find a way to fellowship with the saints, you are out of the will of God. And most people that I know that long ranger, they're very self-centered. They're very self-righteous because they only talk to themselves. So that's just a byproduct of not abiding where you're supposed to be, not doing what God has called you to do. You wanna create all the excuses not to fellowship. And again, like I say, your excuse is just as good as anyone else's. But the key is, if you're a child of God, you want to always try to be in the will of God.
Amen.
Okay, it's the first two verses I'm going to talk about today. Then we're going to go in a series of this. And for you to read the first two verses again.
I am the true vine.
He said, I am the true vine. And my Father
is the vine dresser.
Is the vine dresser. And what?
Every branch in me that does not bear fruit.
Every branch that's in me does not bear fruit.
He takes away.
He takes it away.
And every branch that does bear fruit.
And every branch that does bear fruit.
He prunes.
He prunes.
That it may bear more fruit.
That it may bear more fruit. So my first question is, when it starts off, Jesus says, I am the true vine. It goes with the I am statements that are in John, the seven of them. And I'm going to give all seven, but he said, I am the bread of life. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. I am the light. So here we go, as I am the living water. These are the things that Jesus is attaching himself to, so you can get a picture of who he is. And these scriptures are not done in isolation. When he said that, believe upon me, as the scripture has said, and out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water, he was at the festival of the libation water, a festival of the Jews, and he watched them pouring out the extra water. Then he's figuring that there are people who may drink the natural water, but they thirsty. So he said, believe upon me and you'll never ever have to thirst again. He told the woman at the well that. And she said, give me this living water. And he said, I am the living water. So now he's saying, I'm the true vine. And now that brings another question to my mind. I'm trying to teach you how to ask questions of scripture. If he's the true vine, who's the false one? Who's the true vine? That's what you would think, but that's not it. Who's the true vine? Then who's the false vine? And don't try to answer it, because I know most of you probably don't even know. You think you know, because you run to Satan. We ain't talking about Satan here. Because Satan can't take nothing from God. So he can't be the one here. He said his father prunes. So it can't be Satan. But there is a false vine. Think about this. Jesus came to the nation of Israel. I know you think, you read John 3:16. Yeah, that's overall picture. But he fulfilled the scriptures by coming to the nation of Israel first. And he was supposed to be their savior. And you have to go back through the scriptures and look at the light of the scriptures and say, what was the nation of Israel supposed to be done? What were they created? They were supposed to be the light. And they end up being a false light. They were supposed to be the rivers of living water for the rest of the world. And then they were tainted. They were supposed to be the true vine. But they lost their connection. You say, well, Pastor, prove it to me. I'm glad you said that. Go to Jeremiah. Chapter 2:21. Before free to read it, he's going to say, they're the choice vine. Read.
21. Yet I planted you a choice vine, holy of pure seed. How then have you turned degenerate and become a wild vine?
So see? They were a choice vine, planted in the land that was promised to them. But they turned degenerate. How did they turn degenerate? Because they began to follow idols. They began to do what God called them not to do. They began to do what they wanted to do in their own eyes. And God said, you become degenerate. They were the true vine. They were supposed to let us see the true and living God with their temple worship and the way they carried themselves. But they became a false vine that we could not do anything with. Let's go to another passage of scripture. Let's look at, let's see, I want to go to this. Go to Psalms. Go to Psalms. Go to Psalms 80, verses 8 and 9. It's already tabbed out for you, Frida.
You brought a vine out of Egypt. You drove out the nations and planted it. You cleared the ground for it. It took deep root and filled the land.
It took deep root and filled the land. Keep reading.
The mountains were covered with its shade, the mighty cedars with its branches. It sent out its branches to the sea, and it shoots to the river. Why then have you broken down its walls so that all who pass along the way may pluck its fruit? The boar from the forest ravages it, and all that move in the field feed on it.
So what it's saying is Israel became so bad, so degenerate, that we know through what we're studying now, there was a reckoning time for you being disobedient to God. The Jews had a reckoning time. They couldn't see it because they were too busy doing what they wanted to do. They thought they were doing what God wanted them to do. They believed it. They figured, well, you know, we can bring false gods and images into the temple. It's okay, because guess what? The priests are doing it. The leaders allow it. And as long as we give our money, it's all right. But see, you can't buy God. Amen. There's not enough offering or tithe that you can give to buy God out. Now, is giving a part of it? Yes, but that is such a small part.
Yes, it is.
Because you can't give yourself into righteousness.
No.
Look at one more scripture. Go to Hosea 10 and 1.
Hosea, yes. Hosea.
10.
Hosea 10.
1.
Israel is a luxuriant vine that yields its fruit. The more his fruit increased, the more altars he built. As his country improved, he improved his pillars. Their heart is false. Now they must bear their guilt. The Lord will break down their altars and destroy their pillars.
See, the more prosperous they were, the more comfortable they got, the more familiar they thought they were with God, and they say, God don't mind. I know he's blessing me. So, you know, if I'm married to a Gentile woman and she has a few little trinkets she wants to bring into the temple, that's okay. Because I done paid my tithes.
Well,
I done gave my offering. So the priest say, oh, well, how much you give? Yeah, that ain't going to hurt nothing. But as we see that that God called them, they were the luxurious vine. They were the choice vine. They were supposed to be the one to lead us to Christ.
That's right. That's right.
And Jesus is now saying, no, no, no. I'm the true vine. My Father is the vine dresser. And he said, the ones that produce fruit are fine, but you know what my Father does? He purges. And that Greek word in the purge means actually like he cleanses. He takes things away. So what are the qualities of a vine? The roots feed the vine. The vine feeds the branches. The branches feed the flowers. From the flowers grow the fruit. So if you're attached to the true vine, you have to have the spirit of truth, because the true vine can only produce truth. And one thing we learn about Jesus, he's the spirit of truth. And he said he's going to send back the Holy Spirit to live within you, to lead you into all truth. So he's telling them, you need to be attached to me to experience fruit. But what happens to most of us saints, and I'm not going to be for you long because I want you to ponder this. What happens to us is you're attached to the tree. You are part of the vine. And because you are part of the vine is trying to feed you. But what stops you from being fed is your sin. What stops the nutrients getting to where it goes, my pretty, is sin. You pick yours, that's what they call them, on the vine, they call them a sucker shoot, which basically starts looking like the plant, but it has its own agenda. Because it robs the real branch from its potential to grow fruit.
Wow.
But sometimes what God will do to you is you're attached, but sometimes you have sin in your life that stops you from fruit production that God wants you to produce. You have to remember, if he's the vine dresser, he's the one who decides what kind of fruit you produce. That ain't up to you. So when he comes along, and there's these sin suckers on our branches, God wants to purge them. He wants to cut them away. But our human sin nature, we're so attached to the sin that we enjoy. Whatever that may be that stops you from having the full energy of the root is stopping you, is hindering you, is slowing things down. And if you continue to play into that sin, then you become a branch that I have to cut away. And see, we're not talking about salvation. Because Jesus even called the disciples that left him in Matthew 6:66, he said, there were some disciples that followed me no more. He didn't say they wasn't saved. He just said there were some students that didn't follow me no more. Mm-hmm. See, when you wallow in the sin and continue to practice sin, you are hurting your fellowship. And what God will do, because you're not representing the true vine, he will isolate you. A lot of these lone rangers that's out here have been isolated by God. They think they're doing something. God has set them down. It's one thing to be fired by God, and it's another thing to be fired and not know it. Because you assume that you're the one doing what's right. But see, when you're attached to the true vine, you're going to get fed the Holy Spirit, which is the truth. And that Spirit's going to nourish you. That Spirit's going to grow you up. That Spirit's going to mature you into the faith. And you're going to produce fruit. And see, it's not so much the fruit of things. It's the fruit of the Spirit. You're going to produce the fruit of the Spirit because you've been fed by the true vine. And wherever you fall short, there's a sin sucker there. There's a sin sucker there. It ain't nobody else's fault. It's yours. Yeah, you would like to blame it on the branch up there. Or the branch below you. That fellow brother and sister in Christ, they're holding you back. They're not this, that, and the other. The church, you don't even blame the church. How you going to blame the church when Jesus is the head of the church? He's the true vine. He's the living water. He's the bread of life that sustains us. The living water that takes away our thirst. The door, I am the door, the entryway into having a relationship with God. And we must use the keys that God has given us. But just like the true vine, we have to tap into the truth of what the vine is saying so we can maximize our fruit bearing. So this is not about salvation. This is about how well you're willing to be pruned by God so you can produce the fruit that he asked you to. All
right.
How are you going to be part of the true vine and not live in the fruit of the Spirit? The first three, love, joy, and peace. You don't have no peace. You don't have no joy. And your love is lacking. Why? Because everything is about you. You can't get past you to see God. Woe is me. I got problems. I got issues. I got. But God say, did not die so you can conquer those things. Like Jackie Red, I'm not going to take them away because I'm trying to grow you up. I'm not going to take them away because I'm going to prune you with the suffering that you go through. That's just a testing ground for more fruit.
Yes.
Sometimes you have to go through those things so you can grow up. And you keep trying to escape the thing that God is trying to help you grow up in. And you keep telling me, oh, Pastor, I want to be used by God. I want God to use you. God can't use an unsuffered saint.
Come on.
All right.
Come on.
God cannot use a saint that's not willing to suffer. And I'm not talking about the suffering of your choice. I'm talking about the suffering of his choice. I'm talking about that suffering that make you roll over and face the wall and start talking to God. I'm talking about that suffering that you walk in your house, you just fall to your knees. Well, you stood up in front of everybody else, but you just got told something that you can't handle. And God said, you fall to your knees and start praying. He said, oh, that's all I wanted. That's all I wanted. Do you realize, see, and I know this is going to hurt some immature ears, but do you know God will take some people out of here that you love so that you'll turn to him and not rely on them? They saints, they are already cool. You the one that think they God. You the one relying on their prayers. You the one who raised them up and lift them high. And God say they dust. And to dust they gonna go. But you now that you understood where they got their power from, you come to me too. Attach yourself to the true vine. And then you can abide in me. And then you can grow in me. And then you can become more than a conqueror. But you can't do it unless you're willing to handle the discipline of God. God is going to discipline you.
Yes, he will.
Because he loves you.
Yes.
He wants you to develop a God conscience and be convicted about when you sin. Be convicted when you're gossiping. Be convicted when you're running your mouth too much. Be convicted when you're stealing from your job. Be convicted when you're winking at somebody. You ain't got no business winking at. He wants you convicted.
Yes. Yes.
Yes. Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Right now, we're seeing all kinds of stuff on television. Twerking in the church. Walking it out in the church. Trying to be like the world. We ain't supposed to be like the world. The Bible said we are called out separate ones, holy unto God.
Yes.
We don't supposed to be like the world to attract the world. We supposed to be like us and show a difference between them and us.
Amen.
But no. You're not attached to the true vine. And there's leaders that will leave you unattached.
Yes.
Because they just want you in the seats. They just want your money. They want you, they want to tickle your ears and tell you anything you want to hear. They want you to get on the 8-day blessing plan. They want you to come to deliverance services. They want. But see, you got a question. Where is that energy coming from? It's sure not coming from the true vine.
All right, Pastor.
Because he said, I'm holy and I'm going to be high. I'm going to be respected. You're going to respect me, God said. I'm not going to let you talk to me any kind of way. You don't sit here and talk to God like you're talking to me.
Yeah.
He's the creator of all things. Don't denigrate our God. He died. Jesus died on the cross so you have a relationship with our God. And you come to God like he your coffee buddy.
Yeah.
Like he's sitting in your car drinking soda with you.
Yeah.
You better come to God like he holy.
Yes. Yes.
You better tap into the true vine.
Yeah.
Because the true vine, when you tap into it, it's going to show your light. And light's going to show your sin. And the light is the same light that shows you your sin. Is the same light that will get you out of your sin. Yeah, it hurts. Because men prefer darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. That's in the word of God. Read past John 3:16. And it says men are condemned already here because they don't believe. Believe in what? The true and holy living Savior that went to the cross for them, that would give them the door, would give them the bread, would give them the water, and give them the light, and let them attach themselves and abide in the true vine. So where are you abiding?
Wow.
Everybody here got an imagination. And the only way I can challenge my imagination is look for the word of God that challenges it. And I'm going to make this as clear as I can. And if you don't understand, please come to me after service. I have experiences, Pastor. I've done a lot of things. Most bad. Amen. See, I'm compared to holiness. Maybe I ain't gonna compare it to relative goodness. When it compares to God, I've done a lot of things bad. And I've done a few things good. And some things are neutral. But I don't take whatever I have done and then say, God, you need to prove it because I experienced it. You need to okay it because I went through it. I take my experiences, then I take the light, I take the water, I take the word, and I take the true vine and let it define my experiences. And what I found out is the devil meant it for evil, but God meant it for good.
Jesus.
So when I am falling, God has a way because he let me fall so I can stand back up. So I can't look at that and just say, oh yeah.
Hallelujah.
I got to look at my fallenness and say, Jesus was there to pick me up.
Yes.
Jesus was there to guide me. Yes. His light showed me the way out. Do you know there ain't no such thing as darkness? Darkness is just simply the absence of light.
Jesus. Yes. Come on.
So whatever's dark in you is just the absence of something that's real. Because no matter how the room dark the room is, you can light a match in the light of the whole room. So it don't take much light to dispel darkness, but it takes you abiding to receive the nutrients that you can get from God, the vine, the Holy Spirit, that will lead you into all truth, that will empower you to grow the fruit.
Jesus.
So we're talking about the fruit of the Spirit right now. The reason you don't have joy, sapsucker sin. The reason you don't have peace, sapsucker sin. The reason you can't love, saps up a sin. It's diverting not only the nutrients, but diverting your attention. You can't concentrate on God because you're too busy concentrating on what's wrong.
There it is.
Once you identify what's wrong, you need to head straight to the one that can make it right.
Yes.
And hang around people that's going to point you in the right direction.
Yeah.
Some of you spend too much time telling other people your problem. Let me tell you something. Let me tell you something, Sister Baron. Between me and you. They don't really care. They just want the tea. Let's be honest. The juicier it is, the more they listen. And then you have to remember, because you their best friend, don't mean that they your best friend, and they may have a best friend, but not your best friend, they'll tell your story too, and they're going to add a little bit too. They're going to twist it to the hearer's ear. See, what are you attached to? See, we have to make this real simple, y'all. It's like I say, the vine dresser, the roots, and then the tree, and then the vine, and then the branches, and then the flowers, and then the fruit. All of that has to work together for the good to those who love God. The Bible tells us that no one can pluck us out of his hands. So if you're isolated right now, it's because God is trying to show you something. If you were a saint of God and been hurt in church, I get it. If you've had some bad experiences, I get it. But I ask you to only ask yourself one question. Is some of the hurt due to my own rebellion?
Well,
see, because I've been dealing with this church hurt thing for about 8 years now. And some people I talk to, they just simply rebellious. They're not hurt.
They need an excuse.
That's a modern thing. That's a little thing to say. Church hurt. Church hurt. Church hurt. There are times when there is church hurt. But then, like Pastor Purdy said, I love what he said. Because I'm always, this is what we call a Purdyism. He said, God said to him, what have I done to you? That you're going to deny the saints your gift. Now hold on. I gave you a gift and you hold it to yourself because you church hurt. You don't get to make that call. You got to live beyond that. And the simple way, place it at the place and the person that hurt you. Don't assign it to the body of Christ.
That's right.
Amen.
That's right.
Amen.
I don't care if your church is big as a stadium or small as a gas station bay. That don't mean that God is there. What means God is there is, where is that person and people trying to go? We all trying to go to heaven. We all trying to have a better relationship with God. We want to rise above our storms. We want God in the middle of our storm to get in the boat with us so we can get to the other side. But you can only get that if you're attached to the true vine. So it doesn't mean that you're not going to have sin suckers. What it means is you got to remember, you got to recognize them. And if you recognize them before God has to show them to you, then God said, if you're faithful to tell me your sins, I'm faithful to forgive you. And we ain't got to go no further. You ain't got to tell nobody else. But when you hide your sap suckers, then somebody else has to come along that's a hireling, or a person like me has to come along and say, that don't look like real fruit. That's something different. Have you known that they ain't been growing out the side of your neck all this time? And you're like, what? What? Put your hair over. But that's what we do to our particular sins. We want to cover it. And God say, no, that ain't how I deal with it. It got to be exposed. And if you go ahead and expose it to me, we ain't got to deal with nobody else. I ain't going to tell the pastor. But I ain't going to tell your brothers and sisters in Christ. But we supposed to look at each other. The Bible says we're not supposed to judge them out there. Why are we going to judge people that's already condemned?
Amen.
The Bible tells us in Corinthians that we're supposed to judge each other. Not be judgmental.
Right.
There's a difference. Judging just says you got discernment, means that you know the difference between right and wrong. And the only thing that defines right and wrong is this word of God.
That's right.
Amen. Run to Matthew 15 right quick. I'm almost done. Matthew 7, I'm sorry, verse 15 and 16. Read that. Now, here we go with some false fruit.
Beware of false prophets.
Beware of false teachers, prophets, preachers, apostles, all of that. Fivefold means beware of the false ones. There are true ones and then there's false ones. Prophets is a general term. And we learned this Saturday, every nation got them. But they're not prophets of the true and living God. So God is saying beware. So you got to be on guard for those who want to sow saps of the seed into your garden. Beware. They come as what?
Who come to you in sheep's clothing,
mm-hmm.
but inwardly are ravenous wolves.
They're trying to devour your faith. They're trying to devour because they work for the devil. They're trying to detach you from the true vine with their own philosophy. And it sounds good. I have a rule of thumb. If it makes me feel too good at first, I question it. I've gotten very good at it over the years where I question everything. I just go and question it, get it out the way, look for it in the Word of God, and then I go and keep moving with it, see? And the more words you know, the quicker the answer comes.
Yeah.
That don't sound like God. That ain't nowhere in the scriptures. Yeah. What are you talking about? That don't sound nothing like God. What do you mean? Where'd you get that from? Yeah. I got that from Hosanna chapter 25. Hosanna, ain't no Hosanna. What are you talking about? Oh, I got it from Deepak Chopra. No, he ain't saying it. But I bought Make Friends and Have Influence on People. That ain't the Bible. That ain't the Word of God. Read.
You will recognize them by their fruits.
Oh! Uh-oh. So even they have fruit. But their fruit is false.
All right.
It's not that their fruit is non-existent. Their fruit is false. Like this plant right here. Don't look good. It look like they didn't grow. Didn't these plants grow? No, because they're not real. So if I said they had grown, y'all know that I'm in my imagination. Y'all need to find a straitjacket for me. Because this ain't real. This is false. This not marble. This is plastic. It looks like it, but it's not. And that's what you got to understand. There are people out here who have been assigned by Satan to trick you and send you into your imagination and into your flesh. And again, they start off sounding right. They might quote scripture right, but the contextual understanding of it ain't there. Very false. They're not who you think they are. They are scary, actually. Because they will lead you down the wrong path. Go to Matthew. It's going to be in Matthew chapter 12. Will that be verse 33? Read that.
Either make the tree good and its fruit good, or make the tree bad and its fruit bad. For the tree is known by its fruit.
So I know you by your fruit.
All right.
We are fruit inspectors. Let me check your fruit. No, this ain't real. So it can't produce any fruit. But you can fake it. But when it shines under the light of the true vine, you'll recognize it right off top. That ain't real. I don't care how much you come to church. I don't care how many times did you read scripture. You better ask yourself, am I saved, sanctified, and full of the Holy Ghost? Because only then can you produce the real fruit. That's only then you can produce the real fruit. We know a tree by the fruit. And I'm not talking about necessarily the good deeds that come as a byproduct of the fruit of the Spirit. I want you to understand that. I know we're saved unto good works. But in between salvation and good works is being filled with the fruit of the Spirit. And through the fruit of the Spirit and the seeds of the fruit of the Spirit, we can go do good things for God. Yeah. So I'm not looking at what you do. I'm looking at you, see, you got any love? Do you got any joy? Do you got any peace? Are you long suffering? Are you kind to people? Do you have any self-control? See, that's the one we don't like. Self-control. That means you don't pop off every time you get a chance to pop off because you're you.
That's just how I am.
Yes, right. That's just how you are. God say, we got to change that.
Right.
If you want to walk in my power of the resurrection, you got to let that go.
Right.
No, you don't. No. You can't. TSA moment. You can't bring that with you. Your destination is mighty in God. But you can't take stubbornness, rebellion, not being in control, gossipy, all that stuff. You can't take the glory.
Amen.
But it don't mean you ain't saved.
Right.
It just means you ain't grown up and used the keys yet.
Amen.
Pastor Sims talked about the keys. I'm talking about the vine. They both the same thing. Because it's all fueled by the Holy Spirit. You got to use the keys to unopen the door. You got to use the Holy Spirit to get the sap suckers off of you so you can grow. There's places in God that God is waiting for you to decide you can leave that behind. You let that go. You seem to let go and let God, but you keep picking up more and more and more. Go to go to Matthew chapter 3. 3 and what is that? 8?
Oh, I'm sorry, yes. Matthew 3.
Mm-hmm.
Bear fruit in keeping with repentance.
Mm-hmm.
And do not presume to say to yourselves, we have Abraham as our father.
Mm-hmm.
For I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise up children for Abraham.
Now, this is what he's saying. He's talking to the Pharisees that came to John the Baptist and wanted to see what was going on. They wasn't really trying to get baptized by John the Baptist. They was wondering what you doing, who you are, who sent you. You know, all that stuff they ask people who are chosen by God. You can't be the one because you don't look like us. You didn't go to rabbinical school. You didn't have the, you're not part. No, what are you doing, John the Baptist? Well, I'm going to tell you something. You need to bring fruits of repentance. You need to bring fruits of repentance. But then you'll say with your religious self, I am of Abraham. I am a Levite. I am part of the 12 tribes. You are glorified Tarzan. So you can't be of God. Well, the problem is you're relying on your religion and not on your relationship. That's the kind of thinking that took them away from being a true vine for us. And that will keep you away from being the true church.
Okay.
As good as walking truth can be, is nothing if none of y'all saved.
Amen.
That's right.
Amen.
That's right.
What did Paul say? I have nothing and I am nothing if I don't have love.
That's right.
And Jesus' standard is, if you love me, you'll obey me. All Israel had to do was do justice, love mercy, and walk humbly before their God. And what I will tell you to do, you can't do the first two until you do the last thing. You got to humble yourself before the mighty hand of God. And in due time, he will exalt you. I'm not talking about the places and spaces. I'm talking about maturity in him. Maturity in him. And only when you mature, you can handle some stuff that come your way.
All right.
In maturity, he's going to have you on the floor kicking and screaming. Maturity is going to say, oh God, thank you. That's just part of your plan. You want me to praise you? I'm going to praise you right now. In the midst of, I don't know what I'm going to do.
Amen.
I'm going to praise you in the midst of, I don't know what I'm going to do. And I don't know what you're going to do, but I know you're faithful. You, Lord, I see the storms and the wind blowing, and there's a storm in my life, and you're not in the boat with me right now. So I look out and I see a ghost walking on the water. And I get even scared because I think the storm is gonna get me now, a spook gonna get me. But then you say out of the voice of your mouth, you say, step out on your storm.
Jesus.
Step out on your faith. The issue with most of us is God is with you, but you're not willing to step out and try him. You become comfortable in your misery. You say to us you don't want it, but some reason or another you keep picking it back up. After a period of time, a logical saint will say, you know what? I can't do nothing but pray for them. Because no matter how much I point them in the right direction, they still got an attachment to that sin sucker.
Go head on.
So we have the vine dresser. And we're going to finish this up. We're going to go through this next week. So read down to 10. We're going to talk about some more. We have the branches. And the branches produce the fruit. And there's fruit that will lead you to repentance. There's fruit that will call you to walk in the way of truth. There is fruit that will empower you. And it's all called the fruit of the Spirit. You don't pick the fruit of the Spirit apart. It's all one fruit. The love, the joy, the peace, the long-suffering, the patience, all that is the same fruit. It's not love fruit, joy fruit, no. It's all part of the same. When you partake of the fruit, then you can get it all. Now, you may not be feeling the long-suffering. You may not be feeling the self-control. And the reason why you're not feeling it, because you're not submitting to the Holy Spirit is trying to get that sap sucker off of you.
Right.
You can go further, Lord, but where are you abiding? And that's what we're going to talk about next week. What does abiding actually look like? What does abiding actually mean? And you can start studying out for yourself. What does it actually mean for me to abide in Christ? But we'll see you next week, amen? Let's pray. Oh, gracious Heavenly Father, I just thank you. I thank you for your word. I thank you for your people. Thank you for our first service of this year, Lord. Bless us as we continue to grow. Bless us as we continue to move. Lord, let us realize that you are the true vine. You are the true vine. And through you, we can have the joy and the peace. But Lord, we have to be willing to submit to your power through the Holy Spirit and remove us out the way so that you may have the fullness to grow some fruit, some more fruit, and some much fruit. It's a progression. It's a multiplication. And Lord, we can do that when we humbly submit ourselves to you and your teaching. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. We always want you to be encouraged, blessed, and at peace, and grow some fruit and do what?
Walk in truth.
Amen.
Thank you for tuning in to the Walk in Truth Christian Fellowship Church broadcast on the WITRN Network. Come join us every Sunday at 9 a.m. Central Standard Time for Sunday worship. Bible study is held on Tuesdays at 11 a.m. and 7 p.m. Central Standard Time. We are located at 3006 North Lindbergh Boulevard, Suite 711, St. Louis, Missouri, 63074. All are welcome, and we look forward to seeing you soon.